What is up, everybody? Thank you all for joining me on the latest Mortcast, part of the CSG Network. I'm, of course, your host, Jeff Morton. Okay, Game 1 is in the books, and your Denver Nuggets prevailed over the Los Angeles Lakers in a game that went a lot like every other game that the Nuggets have played the Lakers. One deviating factor in this one was the Lakers jumped out to a 12-point lead in the early in the second quarter, but I mean, honestly, it wasn't that different from Game 4 last year in the Western Conference Finals. And there's a lot of different things, and I kind of, the theme of this first Game 1 recap episode is we forget, and sometimes we need a reminder. And I'm going to set this up with some context here, because I spent a lot of time between my podcast with Tim Miller, which you should check out. It's the last podcast I did before this episode, so check that out. It was another great preview of this series that I did with Mr. Miller. And one of the things that we did on that was we were very smug about the Nuggets' chances. And the confidence we have is very unusual for Nuggets fans because, I mean, I remember in 2023 when Tim and I previewed the series against the Lakers, he was a lot less confident than me, and I was just like, I've seen a couple series now, and I know how the Nuggets will handle this kind of thing. And this year, he and I were both very confident, and I think one of the things that a lot of people have been forgetting, particularly people who cover the league nationally, other than the Hoop Collective, which is, I tell you what, the Hoop Collective has been on it this year, quite the redemption story from where they were, say, in 2021. They are 2022. They really, really have just been really good. Really, really good. This has been a really tribute to what you can be doing and overcoming the Disney aspect of being a podcast. And their redemption arc is quite good. And other than them, the coverage of the Nuggets specifically in relation to this series is, I don't know, Lakers may have a chance, look at this, and all this stuff. And it's a lot, some of it is, I said this on Twitter, some of this is Lakers wish casting, which is, you know, just basically hoping the Lakers play well because ratings. But some of it is legitimately a lot of weight placed on the very specifically the game the Nuggets played against the Spurs. And as I explained shortly after, it was a terrible loss, but sometimes you need that sort of thing to kick you in the ass. I don't think that's what the Nuggets were intending. It was a terrible, stupid, no-good loss that they completely let slip the rope. But in the grand scheme of things, it didn't matter. It cost them the number one seed, but it gained them the number two seed. And when they refocused and beat the Memphis Grizzlies by 30, and I think we've kind of overanalyzed things. And I do really think that with national people who don't really pay attention to Nuggets games outside of certain few, other than one specific media guy, and I'll get to him in a bit. But we kind of overly focus on, they kind of overly focus on the few games they see nationally. And a lot of them have to do with the games they see with Victor Wembanyama. And that was not a national game, but that's a game that media people will pay attention to because it's Jokic versus Wembanyama. And what they didn't see, what they saw in that game was the Nuggets, let's just basically check out. And I think the Nuggets doing that, and which is very similar to what they were doing at the end of the 2023 season. And if we remember back to the 2023 season, the Nuggets basically took the month of March off. I mean, they were up by, I think, 8 games over the Grizzlies. And then Ja ran into his troubles. And the Nuggets really didn't have a ton of to play for by that point, and they kind of just checked out, and they were preserving themselves physically for the regular season, and a lot of that was I think people weren't exactly prepared for a Denver Nuggets squad to check out like that, and quite frankly, those of us here in town were not prepared for that sort of thing. So it was very similar to the reaction to the Spurs loss. Some people have pointed out that the Nuggets lost to the Mavericks. The Mavericks loss was a weirdo one. No Jamal, and you lose on a hook shot, a left-handed hook shot from Kyrie. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to count that among the Nuggets' issues. that was a weird game. But I think that when we look at this, the Denver Nuggets, once again, were a victim of having a weird loss at a weird time. And having a weird loss at a weird time really affects your perception in the national scale. And a lot of these people are like, I don't know. It didn't look like this. You know, maybe the Lakers got a chance. And I'm not really picking the Lakers. You know, I'm not going to pick the Lakers in this series. But I don't know. Look at the net. I mean, it's just the weird way the national media covers the Denver Nuggets. Once again, except for the Hoop Collective, we're all very adamant that the Nuggets will not be losing this series. And we'll get to the results of the game one in the second half. Then I want to talk to you about one William Simmons. He is a very, very much a victim of prisoner of the moment, and he gets on a hype train for certain people. And I saw this when the Nuggets played, not the last time they played the Spurs, but then they played the Spurs at home. And Wembanyama almost had that quadruple double. But what the wasn't focused on was that Nikola Jokic had 42 points and 15 rebounds or something like that. It was insane. It was an insane stat line. But Simmons himself was really focused on Wembanyama, and this is where we kind of it's his new shiny object. Despite being a big Nikola Jokic fan, I'm not blaming him for anything like that. This is not the point of that. So I think what Simmons came through on was shiny new object syndrome. Not focusing on the fact that the Nuggets just basically checked out in the last Spurs game where they were up by 23 and they just stopped playing. which is the takeaway from that game, was nothing the Spurs did. It was entirely the Nuggets just checking out, which is a fault in itself. And if you want to address that, you address that. What Simmons saw was his shiny new object, which is Wembanyama, and he had a good game, and the Nuggets didn't close out. So those are his conclusions. And really specifically, when I talk about a national media that overly focuses on one game, a majority of that is Bill Simmons, and him projecting that game, that specific game, and to a certain extent, the game in Denver against the Spurs onto the Nuggets. And it really came through in his last preview podcast for the Nuggets, where he's talking about the Nuggets not being able to close out like they used to, which is complete BS. The Nuggets didn't have a good Dallas game, and they lost on a miracle shot. And they have in one game that they completely let slip the rope for some whatever reason, mental lapse, and they lost to a Spurs team they never should have lost to. Terrible loss. Objectively terrible loss. But Simmons got caught up in that. And like I said, the theme of this particular podcast is forgetting and then being reminded. And a lot of the NBA is particularly when you talk about the NBA, the season is about reminders because it's so long. The Nuggets spent a lot of 2023-24 reminding people in pockets that how good they are. Every time they played the Celtics, the two times they played the Celtics, it was a reminder game. When they played the Bucks at home, it was a reminder game. When they played the Minnesota Timberwolves at home and just suffocated them in the fourth quarter, it was a reminder game. It's these various moments where the Nuggets have taken advantage of where they are and basically put their stamp on a game and said, all right, well, this, we're the champs. And this is what NBA teams do. This is what potential dynastic NBA teams do. This is a Nuggets team that is that good. And I think what we saw with the Denver Nuggets particularly in the last month, was a team that knew that they could flip the switch, which is a dangerous thing, but it's very similar. Like I said, the comparison I have for this Nuggets team is the early 2000s Lakers. It's not the Spurs. The Spurs were like a Sherman tank. They just were slowly but surely plodding through they were very good, but they were plodding through all of their games. And they plotted at the same pace. It was that sort of very slow inevitability, which has probably contributed to why they didn't win consecutive titles. This Nuggets team is different. This Nuggets team is very switch-flippy. And that includes Nikola Jokic, by the way. Who's very consistent, but he also, you can tell when he's not giving 100% effort. And that Spurs game was a very good example of that, particularly in the second half. So the Nuggets got into switch-flipping mode because they know they can do that. Very specifically, Jamal Murray. A lot of this has to do with Jamal Murray and his quote-unquote playoff Murray thing. If it's not a big game, he tends to take it easy, which isn't a fault. It is just who he is, and he's injured a lot. So a lot of this really, the Nuggets excelling, really goes with Jamal Murray switching his own, flipping his own switch. And it really is that. Jamal Murray becoming who he is in the playoffs requires him getting up and geared up. And a lot of the Nuggets approach and the way things ended up in these games is largely due to Jamal and to a certain extent Jokic having that mentality, maybe a little bit Aaron Gordon. I think Mike is pretty much always the same, depending on what's going on in his life, but I think Mike's pretty much all the same. But this is really those three that kind of go into switch flipping mode. And what you saw in game one, which I'll get to in the second half of the podcast, is the Nuggets flipping that switch, and reminding people exactly who they are. Reminding people that they are the Denver fucking Nuggets. And I think that served as a reminder to the Bill Simmons of the world that what you saw wasn't the same as what will be. Sometimes we forget. And sometimes we need a reminder. And in the second half of the podcast, I'm going to talk to you specifically about the second half of the game one and how that served as a reminder and maybe a beacon to other teams who are trying to compete for a title that this is still the Denver Nuggets. But first, I'm going to talk to you about Blanchard Family Wines, located between 18th and 19th and Blake and Wazee in beautiful lower downtown Denver, Colorado, just a couple blocks away from Coors Field, right in the middle of the Dairy Block. They're always online at bfwcolorado.com. They're on Facebook and Instagram under Blanchard Family Wines. This is a good time to go down there. Obviously, the Rockies are in town, and obviously the Rockies are not good. But hey, go downtown. Go to lower downtown and go to Blanchard Family Wines, which is their flagship location. It's in the best spot in Denver. It's a very comfortable spot to just sit and enjoy some great reds, whites, Rieslings, blends, rosés, anything you need in your favorite local wine bar. They have partnerships with Western Slope Wineries, and they make their own wine from Sonoma County grapes. It's just, it's basically all you really need when you go down. It's got the vibes, it's got the wine, it's got the quality, and everything you want in your favorite local wine bar. Once again, they're located between 18th and 19th and Blake and Wazee in beautiful lower downtown Denver, Colorado, just a couple blocks away from Coors Field, right in the middle of the Dairy Block. They're always online at bfwcolorado.com. They have a location in Fort Collins, Golden, and their original location in Sonoma County. They're on Facebook and Instagram under Blanchard Family Wines. When you go in or you talk to them, tell them Jeff Morton from CSG Podcast sent you. Sometimes you need that little kick. And I think the Los Angeles Lakers in the first half of game one threw everything they could possibly throw at the Denver Nuggets. I know Darvin Ham post-game says that there's some adjustments they can make on Nikola Jokic. The report came down that Christian Wood will be available to them in Game 3. There's a lot of different things. The Nuggets have faced Christian Wood this year. I don't know if that's necessarily going to be a big deal. But this is a Nuggets team that got down by 12 early in the second quarter. But this team also kind of was, we forget they were off for a week. Now that there's the blessings and some downsides to that. The blessing is that you get healthy. Jamal got off of his ankles and his various lower leg injuries, and was able to look healthy, even though he didn't start off great. Well, one of the reasons you don't start off great is rest. We forget in the regular season how much you get into a rhythm, and it's just, you know, a long break. It's like when coming back after the All-Star break and stuff like that. It's just a long break can be a detriment to you, too. You get used to a rhythm of the season. Unlike the first half of the season when the Nuggets were playing back-to-back, 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 and it was asinine, you get into a rhythm when it's a normal schedule, and then you have an abrupt stop, and the Nuggets were off for a week. And being off for a week kind of sucks. it's good for your body, but bad for your rhythm. And the Nuggets needed some rhythm to get it back into it. The Lakers were playing great. LeBron and AD were playing really great. But when the Nuggets reeled them in and went on their runs, it was a reminder of several things. And a lot of that had to do with LeBron James playing almost every minute of the first half and playing as well as he did. And Anthony Davis playing as well as he did, and he played a lot of minutes. And then seeing a second half where they were only up by three after a LeBron James big heave to beat the buzzer going into halftime. The Nuggets had successfully reeled them in. And I am pointing this out on Twitter. Well, the Lakers threw everything they could possibly throw at the Denver Nuggets in that first half, and they were only up by three. And that was like, done. The Nuggets are going to win this. Sure enough, midway through the third quarter, they're up by 12. 13. I think they went on a 13-0 run. And that was it. That was the game. And we talk about these things, and we think about these things, and we don't adequately remember the way things are. We don't remember how much the Nuggets just kind of, I wouldn't call these competitive necessarily. I would call them, the Lakers play out of their minds. And whenever you play a team that is constantly playing that hard, you are going to not have a big margin of victory. But the Nuggets are kind of inevitable. And when they flip the switch, a lot of the early 2000s Lakers, they just hit that gear that is just hard for teams to overcome. Very specifically, I want to talk to you about this game in relation to the Minnesota game from a couple weeks ago, where Minnesota had been up by 4 or 5 points, and it was one of those games where it was nip and tuck, but it was Minnesota definitely has a lead. The Nuggets go into the fourth quarter and just smother them, absolutely smothered them. It was featuring some of the best dunks I've ever seen from Christian Brown and Peyton Watson. A lot of that had to do with the Nuggets just flipping a switch and deciding that the Minnesota Timberwolves were not going to be winning, and they were done. Well, it was very similar in this one, but in this case, it happened earlier. It happened in midway through the third quarter, and where the Nuggets knew, I think by the time halftime started, the Nuggets knew they were going to win, and it's because of how much energy and how much time and effort that the Los Angeles Lakers put into getting to where they were at and how much it took to get there with guys who are pretty old. But let's face it, LeBron's almost 40. And as someone who is careening fast towards 50, I can tell you that and I'm not an athlete, but I can tell you that the things that I used to do even 10 years ago, I wouldn't even think about doing now, right? It's just a fact of age. It's just you know, age bows to no one. And LeBron James has done the best he could with being able to manage that the way he has. LeBron can't play the minutes that like he played in the first half. And it was very evident by the end that both he and AD were very tired. And it's something that happens in Denver, and it is something that happens when you play a Denver Nuggets team that's just so consistent and so elite when they choose to be. The Lakers needed a reminder, as much as the rest of us did, that how good the Nuggets are. We underestimate them. I underestimate them. Local media underestimates them. National media definitely underestimates them. This Nuggets team is, when they flip the switch, I've done that twice in this podcast. When they do that, they're that way. And you think, well, why don't you do that all the time? That takes a lot of mental fortitude and energy to be able to be that constantly on, and it leads to burnout. The Nuggets take their leads from A, Nikola Jokic, B, Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray is the one who is king of the switch flippers. And when he goes on, he goes on. And I think the rest of the team, maybe Jokic a little, but Jokic operates in his own sphere. But the rest of the team sees Jamal going like that, and they go that as well. Very specifically, Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon really follows the energy lead of Jamal Murray. I think that is, you know, he has got a great connection with Jokic, but that's when it turns to things like this, you can tell when Jamal is on fire, Aaron Gordon is going to be following with it. And, you know, Gordon overcame foul trouble in this one. Got two really quick fouls, which is something that you got to watch out with the Lakers. It's very specifically a Lakers team. There have been enough studies done on this sort of thing. The Nuggets only shot 6 free throws in this game, which is ridiculous. The Lakers shot 19, which is actually low for them, but it was significantly more than the Nuggets, you know. So the Nuggets end up getting to a point where you know, they're at a free throw deficit. Gordon's out of the game initially. There was a lot of different factors happening right there. But it says something about the Denver Nuggets that they get a foul deficit like this. They have a key player go out so quickly. And Peyton Watson got two fouls really quickly. You have that scenario, and the Nuggets just did shrug it off. Nuggets only shoot 6 free throws. Shrug it off. It's amazing. There's not very many teams that can face what the deficit is with the Los Angeles Lakers, which is terms of foul calls, you know, and all that stuff, and just not care about it. It really takes the Lakers' superpower away from them. Because a lot of that superpower of the Lakers is having that advantage and having it affect the team mentally. And having the team get upset, really, really upset, and you start doing stupid things after that. And then you start creating your own problem with stupid fouls that you wouldn't commit otherwise, right? You put yourself in a deficit. The Nuggets shrugged it off, which is probably their ultimate superpower other than Jokic. The Nuggets just kind of brushing off the fact that they didn't get any free throws. Another reminder that needed to be put out there for national media, local media, fans, is that the Nuggets just are, in the playoffs, they are a different beast. They are a team that is just so sure of itself. It is hard to overcome that. I don't know how this series is going to go. If you ask me, I think the Lakers are going to get one game in LA. That's really kind of where I'm at mentally, because they're going to put everything they have into it, and there's no way LeBron James' team is going to be swept consecutively by one team. I mean, it could happen, but I doubt it. I think they're going to throw everything they could possibly throw at the Denver Nuggets in Game 2, Game 3, Game 4, right around there. They're going to do everything they could possibly do to not be swept. Look at game four last year. The Nuggets got down by 16. But in typical Nuggets fashion, they just came back. They came back and won the game, and which is why the Lakers fans whatever their arena is called now, Crypto, were so demoralized by the end of that thing. It's because they got up by 16. Well, it's kind of similar to this game, game one. 12 points. They basically were shooting on all cylinders, other than the fact that D'Angelo Russell was returned to being D'Angelo Russell and couldn't hit a shot. A bad matchup for him. They needed Austin Reeves to step up. He didn't. And there was more factors than that. The Nuggets played well. They played really good defense on at certain times, and they just did the inevitable. And I think the Nuggets need to get more credit than they get for being that team, the team that understood where it was at and flipped the switch. And I think Bill Simmons needs to see that, because he really has been a Nuggets guy. It sounds like I'm criticizing it, but the last couple of years, he has been a guy who understands the importance of Jokic, understands all of that stuff. He understands who Nikola Jokic is, and he understands how good the Nuggets are. And I think he got caught up in the forgetting, like a lot of us do. The same way ESPN needs to be reminded, local media, fans, everyone needs to be reminded of this. And the Nuggets in Game 1, if anything, just served the purpose to remind everyone of how damn good they are. Sometimes we forget. Game 1 was a reminder. All right, thank you all for joining me on the latest Morecast. I'm going to be back after Game 2 with another episode. Goodbye.